Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
The month of June brings a new day as far as Illinois' journey back from the economic disaster that the coronavirus pandemic has brought. A new day for just about everywhere in the state except Chicago. But the city is close, we're told. Still, the road to recovery is not fast or easy. Just ask the business people who've had to suffer through the lockdown. Well, we're going to do the next best thing this weekend. Hello, I'm political editor Craig Delamore, and this is At Issue. This week, we want to look at what's ahead for Chicago and Illinois businesses and how much ground they have to make up if the state's economy is ever to recover. My guests are two of the most influential business leaders based in Chicago. They are at the forefront of business organizations that account for a major portion of Chicago's business community and the state's for that matter. Sam Toya is president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, a post he's had since 2013. He's been a restaurateur. He and his family founded and ran the more than a dozen Leona's restaurants in Chicago. He's also on the city's Zoning Board of Appeals. Tanya Trish Dawood is vice president and general counsel for the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. When business interests are being discussed by elected and appointed officials in Chicago or Springfield, she's there making sure the voice of business is heard and heeded. She is a lawyer by trade. Both Sam and Tanya know how to compromise. They also know how to fight for their members. We are practicing social distancing again this week. Our discussion is taking place via Zoom conferencing. Sam Toya and Tanya Trish Dawood, thank you both for joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Well, this week, both of you joined Deputy Mayor Samir Mayakar to help spell out the city's so-called Phase 3 guidelines, basically the next step in reopening the city after observing Governor Pritzker's stay-at-home order. These are the rules that the businesses must live by to be back in business. And we understand there were 10 working groups, some 200 people. I hate to resort to awful restaurant analogies right at the top of the discussion, but how do you get anything palatable from that many cooks, Sam Toya?
Well, I always say it's, you know, everyone brought something special to the table, and it's all about communication and education. And I thought there was a lot of communication, education going on, and we had different groups. Like, I headed up the restaurant bar group. Obviously, Tanya headed up the retail group, and there was other leaders for other segments of the business community as well.
And Tanya Trish Dawood, restarting businesses that have in many cases painfully remained closed or grossly scaled back is a pretty high stakes balancing act. I gather you have preserving health and safety on one side and paramount, but surviving financially and keeping people employed so they can survive is on the other. What's the secret to making that work without falling over to one side or the other?
That's been, if I knew the secret, I'd tell you. But, you know, it requires compromise on both sides. I think you're correct, Craig. Look, we have to make sure that the health of citizens, the residents of the city is paramount. That means not only our health, but the health of our staff and the health of the customers. That's key. If customers don't feel safe going into an establishment, they won't. And we want them to come back. So the health guidelines are main priority for all businesses that are going to be reopening. At the same time, listen, there are a number of businesses, many businesses across the city that have been closed for the past 2.5 months. It has been extremely difficult. Now, there have been programs. There's been the federal Paycheck Protection Program. There have been local programs as well, and that's all been great. Unfortunately, there are a number of businesses who just, for whatever reason, haven't been able to take advantage of those resources. And so you've got a number of folks that are owning businesses that are completely underwater. So you have to balance also the survival of these businesses, but at the same time, keeping the health of everyone paramount. And it's very tough to do.
And I want to ask both of you a really big question right at this stage. Even after those programs you talk about, Tanya, the federal, state, and local relief programs, what does the landscape look like as far as businesses and restaurants that will survive this, and frankly, those that don't? I mean, we were talking at the outset of this that there could be businesses that don't make it through. Sam, mm-hmm. I think at one point you predicted as many as half of the restaurants in the city might not make it. What's the picture look like now?
Well, when we started the year, there was over 25,000 restaurants here in the state of Illinois, with over 594,000 team members working in the food service restaurant industry here in Illinois. There's roughly 7,500 restaurants in the city of Chicago. The National Restaurant Association has predicted 20 to 25% of the restaurants probably will not reopen. And those numbers were if we started opening in May sometime. And then when we heard that there's a possibility that restaurants could not do no seating. Obviously, we got al fresco now coming, but it looked like June 26 was going to be the date that phase four, the governor's Restore Illinois plan, that restaurants could open. And that's where the National Restaurant Association thought the number could even go up. But think about that, 25,000 restaurants here in the state of Illinois, the National Restaurant Association predicting 20% will not open. That's 5,000 restaurants. So it is devastating out here. 50% of the restaurants are not doing no business at all. The other 50% are doing curbside pickup, delivery, carry out, drive through, and they're down 70 to 80% of sales from the previous year. No restaurant business model was ever put together to go that long with only 20 to 30% of your sales from a year ago or no sales at all.
And then Tanya, for retail, you've got a couple of dynamics going here. If you're a food business, you're probably surviving pretty well, but there's a whole lot more going on out there except food.
Absolutely. So, right. So there's this category called essential businesses, and they've been open throughout. Those are your grocery stores or really any other store that has grocery and or a pharmacy component, because at the end of the day, people have to eat, they have to get access to groceries, and they have to get access to their medicines. So those stores have been open, but remember, there've been a lot of challenges for stores who've stayed open, right? They're not staying open and operating in sort of a normal circumstance. They've had to figure out on the fly how to operate in a pandemic. And a lot of that, the customer might not be able to see, but it's caused a lot of interesting new changes in operations. If you remember back when this sort of first started, people rushed the stores, and that was completely unexpected. And that sent sort of a ricochet through the supply chain. It took us a while to recover from that. And so just trying to operate a store with the crush of people and then the supply chain issues, on top of that, trying to be creative about how to keep people safe as we are learning more about the virus and keeping our employees safe. So that's when you started to see the shields going up and signage and all those things. We were doing those things before they were mandated, right? We were just trying to figure it all out on our own. So operating in terms of a crisis where things are changing daily was difficult. But then you have a whole other category of businesses that aren't in food. And they've been closed. Sure, they've been able to do online sales, but typically for most businesses, the foot traffic is where they make their money. And you could see on average, most of the sales are foot traffic, about 75 to 80%. So even though stores have been able to make online sales, that really only accounts to maybe 20 to 30% of sales. So it's a really tough proposition for them to continue to stay open for this long. So I agree with Sam there on that. It's been tough for retail as well.
And I just want to bring the restaurant angle in, because when we're talking especially about neighborhood, I mean, you know, downtown businesses are one thing. Where a lot of the restaurants are solidly, I mean, they're used to high rents, they're used to, you know, high volume. But a lot of the, I would think, restaurants in neighborhoods are operating on smaller margins and frankly don't have the expertise to handle something like this. What has that been like? I mean, is that even harder an impact there than it is in a central business district?
You know, there's no question it's been hard on both central business central business district restaurants and neighborhood restaurants like in Hyde Park or Little Village or Logan Square, 100%. All restaurants are hemorrhaging out here. But, because you got to remember, there used to be 560,000 people that work in the central business district, and over 300,000 are not coming down to work anymore. So it is affecting the central business district. But you're right, Craig. It's really hurting the restaurants in our neighborhoods here throughout the city of Chicago, because 95 cents of every dollar that comes into the restaurant goes out in cost, be it labor cost, product cost, fixed cost. So restaurants work on a tight margin, 3 to 5%. And like I said, no restaurant business model was ever put together to go 11, 12 weeks with no sales or 20 to 30% of the sales they're used to. So it is really devastating out here. And we are communicating with elected leaders that we need to, you know, help these restaurants. We've talked with Senator Durbin, Congressman Quigley, Congressman Chuy Garcia, that we need, in the CARES Act, phase 4 or 5, a restaurant restore bill, to restore restaurants, right? Because they've done it for the airlines. They've done it for the banks. They've done it for the auto industry. And restaurants are the soul of every neighborhood, not just here in our 77 neighborhoods here in Chicago, but throughout the country. So we need the federal government to step up with a restaurant bill in the CARES Act, phase 4 or 5, to keep our great restaurants throughout the neighborhoods, throughout the country.
And I want to talk a little bit more about where the restaurants are going in a couple of minutes. But right now, the state seems to be just ahead of the city. And yes, I'm going to put you both on the spot because you have been arm in arm with the city here, but are both too slow.
In reopening, Craig?
Yes.
I don't know the answer to whether or not they're too slow, because I'm not going to second guess the public health reasons why they've decided to wait to the point that they have. I want to put our faith in the experts, in the public health experts, that the numbers are where they need to be so that people can, so that businesses can open up a bit and folks can be safe and feel safe. So I'll leave that there, but I will say that knowing when the businesses are going to be open is a big deal. I've gotten so many questions about when is Chicago opening? I don't know the answer to that. But I will say that they are being led by public health metrics. We appreciate that. We stand behind that. But to the extent that we can open and open with just a chance at actually being able to be profitable businesses again, that's what's really key to us. And also once we open, I think the other question really is once we move to phase 3, whatever date that is, at least in the city of Chicago, that we do everything we can to not slip back into phase 2, right? That's really what I've heard from a lot of businesses about is we don't want to open up and then have to close again, right? And so that is going to require every business to do everything that they can to make sure that folks are social distancing, wearing their PPE, and doing the best job that they can to keep people safe.
And Sam, I just want to put it to you a little bit too, because I know you have been vocal about how the state was going and how the city has been going. Is it just about right now?
No. So here's the thing. I think the city is going to move in the beginning of the month, beginning of June. So I think hopefully we'll be open, you know, towards the, you know, towards a few days after the 29th here. Now, here's the thing. Remember, restaurants have been closed for over 11 weeks. So it's not like you just go flip the switch on. So opening up on a Friday, I think, was going to be really, could have been a little challenging to some restaurants, especially restaurants that never done al fresco dining and they have to, you know, get tables, chairs, and everything set up on a Friday. We saw in our neighboring state in Wisconsin, people just come out in droves. So, you know, so opening up on a weekday, it might be a little bit easier so restaurateurs can ease into their customers coming back. But as Tanya says, all restaurant owners and operators care about the safety and health of their guests and their team members. We always want to hear what the scientists and doctors have to say. We want to see the data, because the worst thing that could happen is that we have to go back into shelter in place. That would be the death of a lot of businesses. So again, we always care about the health and safety of our team members and guests at all times.
You're listening to News Radio 780's At Issue. I'm political editor Craig Delamore. We're talking via Zoom conferencing with Sam Toya, who is the president of the Illinois Restaurant Association, and Tanya Trish Dawood, who is the vice president and general counsel for the Illinois Retail Merchants Association. I want to stick with dining a little bit, just because of the whole outside dining thing. How long can that last? I mean, I know it's supposedly all through phase three, but in practical terms, can restaurants work with outside dining and still stay solvent? And frankly, you've got, I bet, a bunch of your members who don't have any way to do outside dining.
That is true, Craig. It's going to be very challenging. Again, it's a step in the right direction. It's a small step, and it's going to be challenging. Like you said, there's a lot of restaurants throughout our neighborhoods, like on 47th Street or 53rd Street or 75th Street or 26th Street or 18th Street. You don't have a lot of outdoor sidewalk cafes. Now, we're working with Business Affairs and Consumer Protection to, you know, make the process a little bit faster so we can, you know, get restaurants that from the neighborhoods that want to apply for sidewalk cafes process as quick as we can, but it's definitely going to be challenging. That's why we want to see, you know, again, we always want to hear what the scientists and doctors have to say. We want to see COVID-19, you know, keep, you know, spiking down so we can move into the next phase quicker so we can get the dining rooms open here in our neighborhoods so restaurants can, you know, give that great experience that you only can experience here in Chicago, the culinary capital of the United States.
Now, Sam, tell me what going out to dinner is going to be like in phase three. It's not going to be the same experience as it is, or it has been, right?
No. So obviously, all your listeners know we're going into America 2.0. Restaurants have always been held to the highest health standards, and we are heavily regulated and frequently inspected by public health officials on a regular basis. So there's no question that social distancing is the number one thing that all scientists and doctors will tell you to do. You know, and when you go out to eat, you're gonna see a lot of PPE, personal protective equipment. That means obviously face coverings, gloves, hand sanitizers. So yes, it's gonna be different. But we are up for the challenge. Restaurateurs are always, always are up for the challenge. So restaurant owners, restaurant operators got some great safety protocols in place, and we're here to make sure customers feel comfortable when they come in the door. As Tanya said a little while ago, all customers, you know what I mean, need to feel safe. All team members need to feel safe. And I confident that restaurant owners, restaurant operators are ready for the challenge. They are the ultimate entrepreneur, and they just want to get back serving their customers and having their team members work. And so they can feed their families as well.
Now, Tanya, I want to talk to you about how retail has handled this so far and what it does from this stage on. In fact, as you pointed out, stores started doing this almost right away, whether it was from corporate headquarters or their own ideas. I know just going to the drugstore right at the beginning, there were already remote ways to pay for things.
So absolutely, yeah.
So there, what is the experience going to be like now that we move into this new phase?
Yeah, so I think for those retailers, our industry has been disrupted for some time with sales moving online. So we've been figuring out how to adjust to sort of the new ways that people buy things for a while now. So those retailers that really invested in their online presence, in their online marketing, were able to fare a little better. Those folks that didn't put as much investment there are certainly investing now. So I think that that's where a lot of retail is going. We always think that there is room for bricks and mortar retail, just like there's room for sales to be made online. They can coexist. One doesn't have to swallow up the other, but you do have to do it smartly. And so I think that retailers are really digging in on that issue, connecting through social media, connecting with their customers, and really becoming part of the fabric of the neighborhood. That's the only way they survive in sort of this new economy. And that was really even pre-COVID. But COVID has presented its own challenges. And as you know, on the retail team for the city of Chicago, we also represented salons, spas, and health clubs. And so they've had a lot of challenges as well. As you know, many salons don't necessarily have a ton of employees. A lot of the stylists that work there are independent contractors. And so that, you know, has been a challenge in a lot of neighborhoods. This is an entrepreneurial career. And so it's hit the salons and spas particularly hard as well, frankly, as the health clubs, as you will see, will not be able to open as widely as, the other industries.
And I want to talk to you a little bit about the salons, because that's I think what a lot of people are waiting for, but I think a lot of people not just those of us who, I'm not going to make any jokes about Sam not having to worry about this as much as
I don't have to worry about it. I just do it myself.
but you know, people have been wanting to get their hair cut, their hair done, but that is as in your face as any service is going to get. And people are going to want to see if that's possible and safely in this environment, and what are they going to have to do?
Yeah, so as with all businesses, they're going to have to wear their face masks, right? This is an intimate service. You know, you are there, right there, face to face with your stylist for many of the applications that they have. And so everyone's going to have to wear their mask. Everyone needs to wear their mask appropriately, covering your nose and mouth. This virus, the more that we learn about it, we understand it's the person-to-person contact is where it's really spread. You know, we can wipe down things and disinfect and all that's great, but where this is really being transmitted is through close contact. And when you're doing someone's hair, nails, spa treatment, it requires that you be in close contact. So wearing the mask, wearing it appropriately, wearing additional PPE where it's appropriate, right? So you can wear goggles, you can wear a face shield, in addition to the mask. So there are ways, we believe, to do these services safely. And I think the crux here is that at least in this phase, you're not allowed to do services where you have to take the mask off. So for example, a barber won't be able to do beard trims or mustache trims because you have to take the mask off. And so that won't be allowed. And we understand that, we get that. But to the extent that you can get your hair shampooed and a trim and colored and such, we wanna be able to be here to provide those services and we will be.
Now, very quickly, because I have heard this phrase in, I won't say that it was from my household or not, but no facials?
Unfortunately, no. And that's, again, that's because you have to take your mask off, right? Yeah. And so while the esthetician can keep hers or his on, you're in a closed space and it's just not safe right now to do those kinds of services. We hope to be able to do them in an additional phase, but right now having the ability, number one, to be open and number two, to work around those requirements is at least helpful. Folks just want to get in and want to provide some services, and there are a number of services that they will be able to provide.
Sam, I want to ask you, especially being in the restaurant industry, how much is there a fear that that people may not come back? I mean, that people may be afraid of being in a crowded or even not crowded room with other diners?
So, again, all restaurant owners and operators know we're going into America 2.0. So again, we're one of the more highly regulated and frequently inspected by public health officials on a regular basis. Our customers know that. We think we have some great safety protocols in place. I know we have some great safety protocols in place. PPE, such as face covering, social distancing, hand sanitizers. So again, customers are very, very, very smart. They'll walk in, they'll look around. You know, we're encouraging restaurants throughout the state of Illinois to go to illinoisrestaurants.org and do our pledge. So there's a pledge from the customers. There's also a pledge from the restaurant operator as well. So with that said, there's a lot of things in place, when team members come in, they get checked to make sure that they don't have COVID-19. They may, we're making sure there's things in place, like wash your hands every 30 minutes or 20 seconds or more. Now, restaurant, again, we're highly regulated. Team members always wash their hands after going to the bathroom or washing dishes and taking their gloves off and putting new gloves on. But now it's mandatory every 30 minutes. Even if you didn't do any of those things, you still wash your hands. So again, we are really, really regulated here in the state of Illinois. All people that work in the restaurant have a food handler certificate. There's a manager on duty at all times that has a food handler certificate as well. Progressive in the state of Illinois when it comes to education of our food handlers in our restaurants. We always have been. And I think that the state of Illinois will stay at the forefront of safety when it comes to the health and safety of our customers and team members. So I think it will take a little bit of while, but I think that for the most part, as time goes on, customers will feel safe going into their favorite neighborhood restaurant here in the city of Chicago.
And I'm hoping that we can get back together again when we move towards phase four, but this is actually, we've run out of time for phase three. So I want to thank Sam Toya, the head of the Illinois Restaurant Association, and Tanya Trish Dawood of the Illinois Retail Merchants Association for spending this time with us. To our listeners, if you would like a copy of this program or to hear it again, please visit our website at WBBMNewsRadio.com. Just follow the podcast links. You can also find our podcasts on radio.com. I'll be back next week with another edition of At Issue, and I hope you'll be listening. Until then, I'm Craig Delamore, News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.